Wow, everybody, a powerful Sunday at New Life so far. Amen? Yes. Come on, come on. Wow, it's great. Come on, yeah, come on, give it up, give it up. Wow. And just think about this. What we're experiencing right now is happening at all services at Kearney, all services at New Life today. Three of them here at the Kearney campus, two in North Platte, one in Ogallala. We got people that came from the online campus that were getting baptized at our physical campuses today. So this celebration's happening at all of our live services today, and that's exciting, amen? Come on, come on. Oh, man, I love it. Well, hey, look, we got to get rolling because I got some stuff for you guys today, and I want to empower you today. I want to challenge you. I want to fill you with hope today, but I also want you to walk away today with some talking points that you're going to need for your future, okay? So, look, if you don't have your iPhone or your Android phone or whatever, and you aren't using the YouVersion app, and you haven't gone to events in the YouVersion app and searched for New Life Church, then you don't have my sermon notes. And I want you to have my notes. And they're put on there every single week. So you got to go to the YouVersion app, the most downloaded app of all apps, by the way. So if you don't have that, join the club, people. All right? It's a Bible app. And then go to events. You'll find New Life Church if you've got your geolocator on. And then you can get all the sermon notes today. You're going to want them. And you're going to want them for a good reason. Because today, we're in the series called The Cross. The Cross and Discover the Mysteries of the Cross. Today, I want to help you discover the mystery of how the lost are found through the cross. Some of you go, I already know that mystery, Jeff. I already know it all. Because how many of you guys would say this, I once was lost, but now I'm found? Okay? Okay, awesome. But do you know why? Well, you go like, well, because of Jesus. I get it. But can you communicate it to someone else? Can you communicate it in a way that actually can take them back to Scripture and can show them the evidence of why the cross has the authority and the power to bring salvation? Why is it that through the cross, my sins can be forgiven? Do you know why? Okay, because if you don't know the why, then you are a Christian without any teeth. You're a Christian without the ability to make an impact. So I've told you this before, I say it to you again. Today, my name is Jeff Baker. I'm your friend. I'm really more like your coach today. And I want to help guide you on a path. If you are lost away from Jesus Christ, I pray that today is your day of salvation. And today is the day that you're found. But if you are someone who has already been found by Christ, I want to help give you like a sword in your hand that you can take God's word and you can communicate it with hope and with a smile on your face, and you can communicate the evidence of why the cross has such authority and power in our lives. Amen? I want to help you do that. So if you are someone who would call yourself a follower of Jesus and you aren't taking notes in some capacity today, you're missing out on why I'm even preaching this message for you today. So on that note, I want to jump in, okay? And I just want to dive in. I want to start by talking about the concept of a bridge. I love bridges. Bridges save us time, right? A bridge allows you to save maybe hours of time. Back in old days, you could save days of travel because you don't have to go up a river or down a river. You can cross right there over the bridge. And it saves you tons of time. And not only that, bridges just look cool. So I want to discover, like, how smart are you of a congregation? And I want to take you on a journey to discover your bridge knowledge. Your bridge knowledge. Think with me right now. Like, what are some of the most famous bridges in America? Okay, because that's going to be on the test. There's the pop quiz. Famous bridges of America. I'm going to show you a picture. You yell out what the bridge is. Ready? One, two, three. First bridge. Okay, you didn't really yell it out, but I'll give you that one. If you said the Golden Gate Bridge, high-five the person next to you and go, we got it right. Come on. Okay? All right. At the Kearney campus, looks like only the lower level got it right. I didn't see any high fives going on in the upper level. But that's okay. You guys can redeem yourself on the next one. Second bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge. If you got the Brooklyn Bridge, come on, fist bump somebody next to you. Come on. Somebody in here is like, I came to church. Why am I getting drilled on bridges? Hang in there with me. It's going to make sense. Now let's take it. Okay. How many, anybody 2 for 2 already? Okay. Let's see if you can go 3 for 3. Give me the next bridge. What was it? The Royal Gorge. If you got the Royal Gorge, high five the person next to you. Come on. Now, can I look? Let me just hear from the people that are 3 for 3. Okay, 3 people are 3 for 3. This is going to be amazing. We're going in for the final. Okay, this bridge is in America. Remember this. Last bridge. Oh, somebody in the Kearney campus nailed it. What was it called? The London Bridge. Who didn't know that there was a London Bridge in America? Come on, join the club. I'll put my hand up. All right? I didn't know. Did you realize that they actually shipped stones from England over to, who knows where it's at? Arizona. Where? Lake Havasu. Give that person a free coffee out of the coffee. Someone's like, they're already free. Give her two. All right. There you go. Fantastic. Yeah. So bridges are, they're important, and they help us get from one place to another place, and they expedite that process, and they make that a lot easier, okay? But all those bridges are amazing. The greatest bridge ever is this bridge. It's the greatest bridge ever. It's the bridge of the cross. The cross that spans the great divide between us, sinful man, and our sin, and a holy God. And that's what the cross is. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to be the ultimate bridge between us being lost for eternity away from God, so that we can cross this great, wonderful, beautiful bridge and become one with Christ in relationship with him. Unholy becomes holy through the cross, and only through the cross. It's not by my works. It's not by anything I've read. It's not by how much money I've given, how many times I've shown up to church, how many times I've served in ministry. It is only through the cross that I am saved. This is what Jesus said about that in John chapter 14. He said, I am the way. Read it with me out loud, by the way. I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That means that Jesus is the gatekeeper of his bridge. Okay, he stands there as the gatekeeper. He basically goes, look, you can't pass. You can't pass this unless you pay the toll. Did you realize that? Like, look, salvation is free. The free gift of God through the grace purchased by Jesus on the cross. However, even though salvation is free, there is a toll for the bridge. And here's the toll for the bridge. Think of these two words with me. Allegiance to Christ and surrender to Christ. You want to cross the bridge from our sinful state into a relationship with God that lasts for eternity? There is a demand for our allegiance to him. Here at New Life Church, you just watch part of that allegiance happen in water baptism. I'm putting him first. And it doesn't matter what you think. I'm putting Jesus first. And so many of you have done that today, and I'm so proud of you. But there's also a surrendering. I'm giving up my control. And that's why I choose to use the word here at New Life a lot. I choose to use the word leader. I'm not in control. Jesus is my leader. He's also my Lord. And so I'm surrendering. Right now I'm surrendering what I can, because that's all I know. But as the days go on, and as the journey goes on, I guarantee you, here's what happens. If you've walked with Jesus for any length of time, you'll know this. He keeps asking for more and more and more. So it's a life of allegiance to Christ, but it's also a life of surrender to Christ. So you got to profess that Jesus is Lord. He is King of Kings. He's my Savior. He's my leader. You have to recognize that only Jesus can forgive sins. And then you have to come to Jesus, and you have to say, Jesus, please forgive my sins. But the problem is this, that there's a lot of people in humanity, a lot of Americans, a lot of people who live in Nebraska, that they don't think that the bridge is good enough for their sin. They think that maybe their sin is too great for the bridge, that if they were to walk out onto the bridge, the cross of Christ, that the weight of their sin would collapse that bridge, and it wouldn't be able to sustain the weight of their sin. That's an unfortunate place for many people to be. I'm here today to tell you, I'm your friend, I'm your pastor, I'm your coach today. I'm here to tell you today that, look, the price that Jesus paid on the cross is a price that covers all sin, capital all. All sin. My sin, your sin. The sin of my future. He died to cover all sin, including the sin that you think can't be forgiven right now. Is that good news or not good news? Yeah. That's good news. Amen? Come on. But why? I think that's the question that we want to answer. Why? Why is that possible? And to answer the why question, I want to take you back to the moment of the cross. Jesus on the cross. I want to show you three things. I want to unpack three very important pieces of evidence to help us be confident in the fact that the cross has the authority to forgive. And it's through the cross that I can escape the penalty of my sin, and that the lost can be found and have eternal life with Jesus Christ. The very first piece of evidence I want to take you to is the fact that Jesus prays for our forgiveness from the cross. Like, that should be enough evidence in and of itself. But there's way more than that. But let's land there for a moment. Now, look, 9:00 in the morning, Jesus is nailed to the cross. The cross is lifted up, and as it lifts up, the post of the cross sinks into the hole, and the flesh of Jesus yanks on the nails that are hanging him there. And great anguish is upon him as he's been up all night. He's been beaten all night. Okay, his beard's been pulled out. He's a bloody pulp of a mess. Some actually said he was unrecognizable hanging on the cross. If that wasn't enough, they put a crown of thorns onto his head and thrust it down onto his head as thorns ripped into his brow. Okay, so he's bleeding. He's got potentially even bone in some places showing, as the flesh would be ripped off by the whip that would have, you know, like just gouged him. And so here he is hanging there, okay, in all this anguish. At any of these moments, you and me would have wished we were dead. But what does Jesus do? He utters words. And there are a few different words that he utters from the cross. The very first words that Jesus says from the cross is not the words that you would say. You would have said something probably like, I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. Someone please help me. Why am I hanging between these two criminals? That's what you and me would say. We would go to defending ourselves. Like, these guys got it all wrong. I didn't do anything. Jesus never defends himself. In fact, his very first words from the cross are found in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. It says that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's the first words. That tells you the heart of our Savior. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That was his heart for you and me, by the way. We didn't know what we were doing. Right? They've hung me here on this cross, but they don't really know who I am. Which, by the way, can I ask you this question? Who hung Jesus on the cross? I did. That's always the right answer. I hung Jesus on the cross. It may as well have been me with my hand on the hammer, nailing him to the cross. I'm the one that hung him there. And he's saying to the soldiers that actually did it, and he's saying to you and me here in 2024, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." My sin put Jesus on the cross. I didn't know what I was doing. And here's the beauty of Jesus on the cross going, "Father, forgive them." He's practicing some things he taught us. You remember this when Jesus said this, "Pray for your enemies"? That's what Jesus is doing. Remember Jesus driving home the point, pray at all times and in all situations. Pray. What is he doing? He's praying. "Father, forgive them. Why is this happening? Because God, the Son, is hanging on the cross and he sees our ignorance. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. God sees your ignorance today and his heart goes out to us. And he goes, may they be forgiven. May there be a way for them to be found free. Father, forgive them. He sees our hearts, right? And he wants us to not be stuck in the muck and the mire of our sin. And he goes, Father, forgive them so they're not stuck in this situation. So the words forgive them, guys, becomes a theme that you find on the cross. So if you ever doubt, can my sins be forgiven? You need to know that the very first words that Jesus spoke, which speaks about his heart, is this. It's good news. He wants to forgive you. And if Jesus wants to forgive you, guys, nothing can stop that forgiveness other than you. You and me have to surrender our lives to him. We have to say, here's my sin. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. Or forgive me, Lord. Set me free from the penalty and the curse of this sin. So evidence number one, Jesus' first words, forgive them. Evidence number two, that the cross has the authority to forgive, and that the cross is where the lost are found, is that one criminal was saved on the cross. Jesus was hung that day at 9 o'clock in the morning between two different criminals. Now, these dudes were guilty, but Jesus was not. And the scripture that tells us about this is Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. It says that one of the criminals hanging beside Jesus scoffed at him. Can you imagine this? This guy's dying on the cross, and he's going to scoff at Jesus. If you're the Messiah, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied to him, some of the few words he said on the cross. He looked at that criminal, looked him in the eye, and he says, I assure you, I promise you, you can be confident in this. Today, you will be with me in paradise. It's powerful words. I just love the fact that, you know, the tension of the moment. Can you just feel the tension of the moment? Jesus hanging on the cross. Soldiers are down there, they're gambling away Jesus' clothes. People are out there mocking Jesus. This criminal hears the mocking of Jesus, and the criminal chimes in. If you really are the Messiah, why don't you get down off the cross and save us too, by the way? And the other criminal goes, what in the world have I done? I first was in business with this guy. That was bad move number one. Now bad news number two is that we're guilty and we're hanging here on the cross, and my criminal buddy over there, he doesn't even know what he's doing. Like, he says to him those words, right? Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? Don't you fear God? Like, I just love the fact that one criminal is giving another criminal advice at the day that Jesus is being crucified. I got some advice for you, buddy. Don't you care? Don't you care that you've been sentenced to die? Don't you fear God? Look at what he does there. Who does he call Jesus? God. First thing right off the bat, the criminal calls Jesus God. Then he tells his buddy, don't you fear that you got your sentence to die? Can I pause there for a second and just ask you this question? How many of you guys are going to live forever? None of you. All of you are going to die at one point or another if Jesus doesn't come back first. Now, that's not bad news. It can't actually be good news, because when you die, then you come alive with Christ. So can I just say this to all of us in this room and everybody listening to me right now? Theoretically, all of us have been sentenced to die. Now let me ask you the question that the criminal asked his other criminal buddy. You've been sentenced to die. Don't you fear God? You've been sentenced to die. Why don't you fear God? It's a big question. It's the right question, though. That criminal had a great future. He got teamed up with the wrong dude. He saw that Jesus was God, and he recognized we're all sentenced to die. Why isn't there some kind of fear right now? Why isn't there, not a fear like I'm afraid, but a fear of reverence and awe? That's what the criminal recognized. He recognized we are in the presence of the Almighty One right now. And that's why he says to Jesus in his next words, remember me when you enter your kingdom. Remember me when you enter your kingdom. Guys, those are powerful words. Notice that with one expression of faith, the criminal's life was radically transformed. And Jesus says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Powerful. One statement. That's all it takes from any human being on this planet Earth is for their soul to wake up and for them to recognize Jesus is God. And will you remember me when you enter your kingdom? Here's the reason why I say all that, because that one statement drives these three key principles home that are needed if you're going to surrender your life to Christ at the cross. And the first one is this. When you say, Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom, you're saying that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what he was saying. He was recognizing Jesus is the profound King. Secondly, he was saying, Jesus, I know that your kingdom isn't something of this earth. It's something greater than this earth. And so he goes, remember me when you enter that kingdom, which is not here. Jesus, you're not climbing down off this cross and becoming the king of this earth right now. You are going to die on this cross, but you are going to resurrect again. And when you enter into your kingdom, he already was recognizing, Jesus, you aren't dying here. This is just a passing. You're coming alive someplace else. And wherever that else is a grander kingdom than this. And then he simply says, I am nothing without you, Jesus. Remember me. Guys, that's the heart God's looking for. He's looking for a heart that says he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His kingdom is greater than this thing that we live here on this earth. And that I am nothing without you. Would you remember me? Guys, that's powerful good news right there. That's the kind of heart God's looking for out of you and me. And if spiritual transformation can happen for that criminal that day, spiritual transformation can happen for you. Right? Do you believe that? Do you believe it today? Because I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter what stands between you and God. If spiritual transformation can happen for that criminal, and the promise can be given to that criminal that today you'll be with me in paradise, the same promise can happen for you today. What's standing between you and eternal life? Whatever it is, it's not worth it. You're sentenced to die. Lay it down and start discovering what life is really all about. That criminal had just but yet a few hours of knowing what life was really all about. I pray that for you, you would have multiple years to know what life is really all about and to pass that promise down from generation to generation. Amen? So you can be assured that when you call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. One of the ways I know that is listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. See, church, listen, here's the truth. Jesus paid the price for your sin on the cross, so that he can fight for your life in heaven. He becomes your advocate. That means that you have an accuser. Why do you need an advocate if you don't have an accuser? There is an accuser who knows the record of our sins, and he's bringing that record before the Father. And Jesus is going, yep, all of those things are true. You only got one thing wrong, and that's all of those sins have been covered by my blood that was shed on the cross for them. So the penalty of those sins are gone. My friends, I'm telling you today that the penalty of your sins, no matter what the name of your sin is, no matter how dark, dreary, nasty, and evil you think it is, if it's brought underneath the covering of the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, it will be forgiven. It will be forgiven. So from one sinner to another, because that's all we are. From one criminal to another. Here's my advice. My advice is to match the intensity of Jesus. He fought for our freedom on the cross. Match that by fighting for a life that honors God. That's what he's looking for. He fought so that our sins can be forgiven. So now he's looking for us. Will we fight on this earth to push back sin, to say no to sin, and to say yes to his Spirit, and to live a life of repentance before him from this day on? From one sinner to another, can I say to you, that's what this guy's trying to do. Okay? And I'm challenging you to do the very same thing with me. So now we know there's two pieces of evidence. Jesus prayed for forgiveness, and then he shows that forgiveness on the cross by leading a criminal and promising him that today you're going to be with me in paradise. Okay, that's powerful by itself, but it doesn't end there. Let me show you one more piece. One more example of salvation that happens at the cross. The soldiers who put Jesus on the cross, they actually believed in him. The soldiers who nailed Jesus to the cross, they actually become followers of Jesus. At 9 o'clock in the morning, they nailed Jesus to the cross. At noon, darkness falls upon the entire earth. And they're kind of like, what in the world's going on? 3 hours later, okay, at 3 o'clock, 6 hours from the moment that Jesus was put on the cross, Jesus dies. Watch. Here's what happens. And watch what happens to the soldiers. In Luke chapter 23, verse 47, that when the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what happened at 3 o'clock, he worshiped God and he said, and what did he do? He worshiped God. I'm going to say worship. What are you doing right now? He worshiped God and he said this, surely this man, Jesus, was innocent. And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they all went away in deep sorrow. Now, can I just ask you, what would cause this tough, hard-hardened soldiers to switch their attitude 6 hours later, mocking Jesus, gambling his clothes away? They spat on him, they pulled his beard out, they beat him, they put a false crown on his head. What would cause them 6 hours later to all of a sudden go, I'm worshiping him? He wasn't just an ordinary man. He was innocent. What would cause them to do that? There had to be a truckload of evidence. What was that evidence that caused these hard-hardened soldiers to switch from Jesus is a nobody to Jesus is God? What would do that? Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54, it tells us. Follow along with me. Then at 3 o'clock, then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit, and he died. So at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. Watch this. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and the tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and they appeared to many people. Now watch this. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. And here's what they said in that same heart of worship that we got out of Luke. This man, Jesus, come on, say it with me, truly was the Son of God. Something happened. Something so physical went down that it caused hard-hearted, rational soldiers to say, uh-oh, we crucified the wrong guy. Uh-oh, everything we've heard is true. I can't believe what we've done. We've killed the Son of God. Not only was he innocent, but he was the Son of God. Hard-hardened soldiers, criminals that were there at that moment and at that day were forced to have their heart and their mind changed and to recognize that Jesus wasn't just an ordinary man. He wasn't just a sinless man hanging on a cross. He wasn't a guy that just got a bad verdict, but he was the Son of God. I'm here to tell you today, is Jesus the Son of God? Yes. Can Jesus forgive you of your sins? Yes. Can Jesus break the penalty of our sins? Yes. And if their hearts can be changed, what's standing between you right now and your heart being changed to say that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm telling you today, guys, that the cross is the place where the lost are found, if they'll open up their eyes. And the cross is the place where the penalty of our sins can be broken once and for all. How many of you have had your sins forgiven because of the power of the cross? And now today, how many of you are still in need of your sins being forgiven because of the power of the cross? I'm in need of my sins being forgiven. Come on, I'm asking a serious question right now. I'm in need of my sins being forgiven by the power of the cross. Come on, at all auditoriums right now, how many of you are saying that right now? I'm in need of that right now. Okay, come on, hands are up all over the place. The Kearney campus, I guarantee they're up everywhere else. Guys, this is part of the mystery of the cross. Now, let's just back up for a second. What in the world is up with these dead people coming back to life? Did you catch that in that scripture? Why are we overlooking this? This is fantastic. This is where you get like the zombie apocalypse without all the evil. It's like, what in the world? I haven't seen you. Like, I have only heard about you. Like, you're my great-great-grandmother. You're like supposed to be 150 years old. What are you doing back here? I came back to check on your room. It's not clean. The power of Jesus' death, just his death. We're not even talking about the resurrection yet. The power of his death brought the faithful dead back to life. Now, 2 weeks from now, we're going to go to Easter. We're talking about the resurrection. Just think what the resurrection's power has. When the power of his death brings the dead back to life. And that they just hang out in the cemetery from Friday until Sunday. I mean, on our terms. From Friday until Sunday, they just hang out in the cemetery. What do? They have like a little picnic there. Like, what happens? And then Jesus resurrects from the dead. And they enter into the city, and the people see them, and they're like, what in the world is going on? See, I'm telling you, the physical evidence of the death of Jesus is so overwhelming that there isn't a reason why we shouldn't look at him and go, he is God. He was the Son of God. And let's put our faith in him. Here's the problem. 2 weeks from today, we've got Easter. Here's what I just recently read in a study of America. 53% of Americans say they're never going to walk through the doors of a church. That's a lot. And I don't know about you, but I'm not cool with that. Here's what I do know about those 53%. If we pray for them and we invite them, God can work miracles. So I'm asking you today, who's a friend of yours that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus that needs to know him? Who's a friend that's lost that needs to be found? Would you take that little white piece of paper I gave you, and would you just, for a moment, would you just think about who that name is, and would you write their name on that white piece of paper? Oh, but wait, before you do that, the name of the person that I want you to write down is somebody that you can also physically bring to a New Life campus at Easter. So I know you know friends that are far off. I'm not talking about them right now. Let someone else pray for them and invite them on Easter. I'm talking about the person that is in your workplace, in your neighborhood, that lives in your town or nearby, somebody that you know that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. I want you to write their name down. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take that name and we're going to pin it to the cross. All the crosses are going to be down at the altar. Okay, and as soon as I pray, you're going to have an opportunity to bring that paper and pin it on the altar, just like the first service did. Pin it to the cross. But here's the deal. When you're doing that, you're saying something profound. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to invite them as well. I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to invite them. I'm going to be a part of this profound story of the cross where the lost are found. If you were lost and you've been found, would you help someone else now find Jesus? So only write their name down if you're willing to invite them. If all you're going to do is pray for them, keep the paper to yourself. I mean this with all my heart. We can't just pray, guys. We have to also invite. It's a both and. So let's take this before the Lord. Why don't you stand with me and let's pray. Father, thank you that the evidence of the cross is overwhelming. And that those who saw you give your life on the cross, they without a doubt recognized that you are the Son of God. And we recognize that today. So Lord, thank you that we were once lost, but now we're found. And now, God, through the power of the cross, we want to pray and we want to invite others to hear the good news of Jesus as well this Easter at New Life. So, Lord, as we're praying, would you put the name of somebody on the heart of our congregation right now? And they would just write down that name. Lord, we're going to bring these to the cross symbolically, nailing them to the cross. Because you went to the cross and you bore our sins. You took our sins to the cross so that the lost can be found. And God, I'm asking that today something profound would happen in our hearts. That our hearts would break recognizing that you paid a great price for us. And that our hearts would break for others. And we would pray for them. And we would invite them. And we would see the greatest miracle of all time happen this Easter. The lost are found through the death and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's worship.